Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Wednesday, January 15th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in today to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Do you provide a heat source for your backyard chickens in the winter? In most cases, it's not necessary. But if you choose to provide a heat source for your backyard chickens, it's imperative to use a safe and effective heat source, and the only one I recommend is the Sweeter Heater. The Sweeter Heater is a safe, completely sealed, washable, non-breakable, energy-efficient, long-lasting, and reliable specific area heater that comes with a 3-year warranty. Ditch the dangerous heat lamp this season and invest in the only heater I recommend, the Sweeter Heater. Purchase the Sweeter Heater online at sweeterheater.com. That's sweeterheater.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We do appreciate it. It is hump day. It is Wednesday. It is Garden Wise Living Day, of course, with Arlena Schott. And we've got a great episode for you today. We're going to be talking about kind of planning our spring gardening and some new garden varieties that are available. And have you started to get those garden and seed magazines? Yeah, that's about time for you to start loading up the mailbox with those things. They start sending them out. Seed catalogs, plant catalogs, fruit tree catalogs, the whole nine yards. And they're awesome to get in the mail. But great looking, great reading, sitting there fun, you know, getting your spiral notebook out and trying to figure out what you're going to plant in your garden, whether it be ornamental or food garden or annual garden, perennial garden, whatever it is. And so it can be quite fun, and really fun for the whole family, picking out cool things and new varieties that the nurseries have come up with this year that they're releasing, and something you can have that your neighbors can't or have never seen. So it's a fun time of year as we start into spring. I know many of you still have many inches of snow on the ground, but I assure you, you're probably going to start getting some catalogs here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, warning you to get ready and start thinking about springtime. So, and all that's about. So we've got Garden Wise Living today with Arlena Schott. Let me just tell you real quick before we bring her on. We are right smack dab in the middle of our January Chicken Coop Contest. The grand prize package right now is worth almost $3,000, $2,844 to be exact. And it includes everything from the coop to the walk-in run. The coop has been upgraded with many different features, an incubator from GQF, a brooder heater from Frenzy. It includes 3 autographed books. It includes, I believe it's a $75 gift card to McMurray Hatchery. It includes a peck and play, a portable run. It includes a $100 gift card from Tractor Supply. It includes 25 baby chicks, or the equivalent on a gift card at Stromberg'sChickens.com. It's just, and of course, the beautiful coop is provided by Green Chicken Coop. .com. Go check them out. They provide the coops for Williams Sonoma, that upscale catalog, if you will, with all kinds of neat things in it. Yep, they're one of the coop providers for Williams Sonoma, and is greenchickencoop.com. Check them out. Go find them on Facebook. Tell them thanks for sponsoring the contest. But look, if you don't win, because we're doing some things differently, if you don't win this month for the January Ultimate Chicken Coop Contest, we're going to have one grand prize winner. They're just going to win all that awesome stuff, okay? If you don't win her, don't fret. Believe it or not, we're having another beautiful coop contest in February. And if you don't win that one, we're having another awesome chicken coop contest in March. And if you happen not to win that one, it's okay, because we're having another grand chicken coop contest in April. Now, when I asked the folks on Facebook if they wanted for February to have one grand, huge prize for one person to win, or to kind of have multitude of prizes, they wanted to have the multitude of prizes. So we're going to try that February, and we'll see how we like it, see how the folks react to it. And then in March, we'll either go back to the one big grand prize or, again, spreading the prizes to more than one. Maybe we'll have a first, second, third grand prize winner, a runner-up, and then a first place or second place or something like that. So we'll see how the creative juices flow here when we're planning for the February Chicken Coop Contest. But four contests to start the year. How cool is that? Very exciting. January, February, March, April. And these are beautiful coops and a great list of prize package. So we do hope that you can participate, enter. If you have all the rules are on our Facebook page. Just go check it out, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So go check it out over on Facebook. I'm trying to think if anything else was going on regarding that. I hope to, by the end of the week, make my big announcement that I've been teasing kind of everybody with. I reviewed the press release the day before yesterday, and it's being edited again. And when I've got to go ahead, then I will make that big announcement. I'm very excited. Yes, it's even bigger than Four Coupe Contest to start 2014. I know that's hard to believe, but it is a tremendous, I think, accomplishment and goal, and I'm very proud of the project, and I can't wait to let everybody know about it. So on pins and needles right now, so gotta love it. I'm also finalizing this. It's going to be probably about a five-week tour on the road, 5 weeks straight. We're looking at, and it's not in stone yet, so don't hold me accountable to this, but we're looking at the cities we're going to be stopping in, Mobile, Houston, Austin, Waco, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, St. Louis, Louisville, Cincinnati, Columbus, Knoxville, and Chattanooga, and over about a five-week period. So a lot to say. It's going to be quite the tour, but we're definitely looking forward to it. That'll probably start the first week in March and go through the first week of April. So we're looking forward to that as well, too. But let's go ahead and get started with Garden-Wise Living with our Alina Schott, talking really all about getting ready for spring, our spring garden, our spring landscape, our spring planting, and even those seed catalogs that are coming, and even new varieties that people have come out for spring. So let's go ahead and give Arlena a big chicken whisper welcome.
Good morning, or good afternoon almost. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Hello. Yes.
How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm buried in 3 feet of snow, but otherwise I'm good. Yeah, we had quite a dumping yesterday.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And it's going to be a wonderful New Year. Yes, wonderful.
I sure
well,
hope
guess,
so. See, I've got 3 feet of snow, so just to get down to the soil, the medium, the planting loam, you're going to have to do quite the digging.
Yes, we're really going to have to dig some out, aren't we? Actually, we don't even think about planting outdoors, as you all know, around here until usually the end of March or, you know, beginning of April, somewhere in there. So, yes, we do have a dump. Yesterday we had quite a blizzard here. It was wonderful. I was out gathering eggs in the snow, if anybody watched my Facebook page with all the pictures. Yeah, what a dork. Out in the snow in a blizzard with a chicken. That's what everybody does, right, here in Wisconsin? You do when you drink a gallon of wine. No, I did not. That was a big joke on Facebook. Yeah, Arlena, come on. When you're drinking a gallon of wine, you know that's what it is. No. But, yes, we're going to have a wonderful show today. We're going to talk all about new varieties of vegetables. Yes, it's exciting. There's lots of the seed companies are inundating us, and I love that word. It's a good word to me. Some people think it's a negative, but it's wonderful to me with their new catalogs for the season, like Botanical Interest Seed and Johnny Seed and, goodness, Harris Seed Company. There's just amazing how many different B&B Seed, BBB Seed. Oh, goodness, let's go through the list. So we're going to forget somebody, and then I'm going to be in trouble, aren't I? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed has some amazing new varieties. So that's what I thought we would talk about, getting our list together, if you say, for our spring gardens. And it's good to get your seeds ordered sooner than later because of the fact that if there is a new variety that you want to try, sometimes there's limited amounts. So if you get those orders in early, you can be guaranteed that you're going to have a new variety to try in your garden for the season. Yeah. But we do have a wine to taste. I know you were going to come up with that here shortly anyway, but I'm going to just jump right in there.
You bet I was.
We do have a new wine, and this is a wonderful ice wine. I mean, it's an ice. This winery is in Wisconsin. They're on Sleepy Hollow Road in Kewaunee, Wisconsin. It's called Parallel 44 Vineyard. And this is the wine that I'm trying. They are really known for their ice wine, but I did not get any of that. So because it's just, I didn't get any yet. I just happened to be able to get this bottle of wine, and it is actually a Glacier White. And if you go to their website or to their Facebook or to their Twitter or to their Pinterest or my Pinterest, where I actually pinned a whole bunch of their different wines, they're the Tundra wine. It's a Tundra wine, they call them. And that's awesome because, of course, of the frozen tundra wine and all the frozen tundra of Wisconsin. So yes, this is what we're sampling today. We're sampling a Glacier White, and I've been told that this is semi-dry, but it has soft melon flavors. So let's try it, because you know me, I really don't like a dry wine. So semi-dry would be good, and I do like a sweet wine. So this hopefully has just enough sweetness for me. So here we go. Just a little bit in the glass. Just a little, I promise. Okay, here we go. Was that a gulp? Yep, it was. Sip, swirl, and cluck. It is amazing. Amazing. Yes, indeed. It's boasted that it's won lots of wonderful awards. Oh, it's a taste test favorite for pairing. So if you're looking to pair with fish or steak or pork and chicken, it's one of the favorites that can pair with pretty much any of those things. So, yes, it's very good. Again, it's a Glacier White from Kewaunee, Wisconsin. It's Parallel, P-A-R-A-L-L-E-L 44 Vineyard. So, yes, it's very good. I really need to get my hands on some of that ice wine, though. Come on. I was out in a snowdrift yesterday, far, far from home, wandering, because I had put out it was an actual blizzard, so I did put a rope from the house down to the chicken coop. You can laugh if you want, you know. But that in the old days, Grandpa used to say, well, he lived in Minnesota, or Dad used to tell me all the time, sorry, we call him Grandpa to the kids, but he's since passed away. He lived in Minnesota and said the winters back in the day when he was a young man were so bad that they would stretch a lifeline or a rope from the house to the barn so that they could follow, because you couldn't see it, so they follow the rope to the barn, and then follow the rope back just to get back and forth from the barn to the shed, to the shop, to wherever. And the outhouse, you know. And yesterday, it was such so funny. It was a blizzard out, but, you know, I could see the house. I was just joking it, but I did post on Facebook with my hand holding a rope. What am I to do? It came loose in the snow. But I did make it back after about six glasses. I did make it back with my eggs in tow. And I had a picture of my feet covered in snow because my daughter says, yeah, Mom, you've got a hat and gloves and a scarf, but you probably have no shoes on. And she knows me so well, but I did have to take a picture of my feet in the snow and my eggs, and, you know, that they look, I do have shoes on. And then Linda Lou Miller, she bumps up and she says, yeah, but I don't see any wine jug in that darn bucket of eggs. And I said, it's laying over. And she says, probably laying empty over in the snow. So, of course, I had to take a picture of the wine bottle laying in the snow. Of course, it was there laying in the snow empty. And then, of course, it just went on and on. And it was quite fun if you wanted to go back to Facebook and check that. It was just quite fun we had yesterday. Anyway, so what, let's see. So we're going to talk today about new varieties and, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Tell me something. Tell me, you live in mm-hmm. you had negative temperatures, I'm sure, a lot last week thing came, when whatever it was called came through. So tell
the
me
vortex.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Zero means no heat at all when it gets down to 0 degrees, right?
Yes.
No measurable heat. If it's not measurable, then how can you have -4 or negative 40?
Negative
heat, less heat than no heat, then that means there's still some heat measurable. If you can tell, there's less than nothing. Maybe a scientist, maybe a meteorologist can email me this information, and I'm just sharing this because for as long as I can remember, I'm 44, my dad's 82, 83. He's always said this when he's watching the weather. We're in the south, but, you know, he'll say, oh, it's going to be a -23 in Minnesota. And so he, I just remember him often saying that and still explaining. How do they know? So it's either totally messed up, our measurable temperature system, or they're just blowing smoke. Because if zero is no heat, 32 is freezing, zero is no heat detectable, then how do they know to detect? How can they detect -35? There's
exactly.
Got to be something.
You know what I'm saying?
Still some heat there. If my understanding of what that means, zero being zero, the temperature is zero, no heat detectable, if that's it, zero, how can you have less than zero? of something, of heat to even measure. So that's today's question for everybody to ponder, and I have one more for you to ponder.
Okay.
It is 2014.
Yes.
And I was on the phone today going to the grocery store and back to pick up a few things, and my call was dropped like three times talking to a client. And then I get back here, and I start getting onto the radio show, and even with the technology we have today, that's key here, my phone call was dropped three times, and then it takes me 15 minutes just to get online with two options of wireless service, 15 minutes, pulling my hair out, getting ready for the show. Okay, and then number three, so cellular phone dropped three times in 2014 in one phone call. It takes 15, 20 minutes to just get online with today's technology to get the radio show on, at least today it did. And then I want you to picture your father's or your grandfather's 1969 Oldsmobile, okay? So we have the phone's dropped three times, my phone call. I can't get online. And now I want you to picture your father's 1969 Oldsmobile, okay? Now think about the technology we had in 1969 when you look at that Oldsmobile, how many times it was broke down, how many times it overheated, how many times it went to the, you know, parts store. And then even with today's technology of drop phone calls and can't even get on the Internet, please don't tell me we actually landed on the moon in
1969. Yeah, that's a good question.
I know, I'm going to get tons of mail about this. It just makes me ponder that when I look at my dad's 1969 Oldsmobile and the technology we had and a 1969 Oldsmobile and the technology we have today, and I can't even talk to a client on the phone without getting dropped three times, and we sent up something that looked like tinfoil 250,000 miles away to the moon, landed on it, took back off, came back to Earth, and everybody's hunky-dory and everything's fine. You know, it just makes you go, So that's what I think about when I see negative temperatures. I think about my dad saying, how can you have negative? There's got this measurable, then zero is not zero. And then the fact when I see anything about landing on the moon, I honestly think about my dad's 1969 Oldsmobile and think, yeah, right. So that's just things to ponder today on the Chicken Whispering Show as we're talking about springtime. No, I don't need any mails about being a conspiracy theory and landing on the moon and proof and all that stuff and the shadows and why the flags and the waving are not waving and, you know, I don't need any of that. I've already looked at all of that. So, but those are just some funky things to think about during today when you get frustrated over technology or or when you see a forecast being negative 40 degrees. So let's talk about seas. Let's talk about the springtime. I am going to have an issue because when we go back, we've been on the road full time since August. And so my garden, about 1 acre, is going to be full of grass and weeds, and I mean full. And so I'll have to, of course, hook the harrow to the tractor and get all that worked in and things like that. And that's going to be a chore in itself with all the grass, I'm sure, that's grown into that in my garden. That would be probably a week or two, at least a week of harrowing over and over and over each day to get it where it's plantable. But and we're going to be there probably April, May, June, July, and we'll probably plan about as soon as we can, maybe mid-April, around the 15th. Normally we can plan as late as maybe March 15th. But and then most every time by about July 15th it's done. 4 months later, we've already harvested it, it's burned out. It's too hot, no matter how much irrigation we put on it, and the garden has been spent. So we haven't even dreamed to even start with, as busy as we are, writing down what we want to plant this spring. We do love a spring garden. Last year we never got around to planting the Moon and Stars watermelon like we really wanted to, I think it was called, which is a wonderful heirloom variety. We may do that this year. If we do choose to have a smaller garden this year, I'll still probably harrow the acre. And then just plant smaller, then we may try to, because we haven't done in this past, go all heirloom varieties if we can, and see how that works for us, because we really, that would just be even more enjoyable to plant and to harvest and look forward to the different things that our people 100 years ago enjoyed, 200 years ago, just some wonderful things. So that's, if we do that this year, probably plant smaller, and then may try to do 100% heirloom in our garden. That's what we're hoping for this year.
Well, that would be interesting to hear about. And I'm sure that would be a lot of fun because there are so many wonderful varieties of heirlooms out there, just wonderful varieties. It's just amazing how many there. When we first started with heirlooms, there weren't very many. You had a list of maybe 15. Now there's hundreds of different heirlooms that are being saved every day, which is wonderful. I think it's wonderful. And it's fun to do and fun to watch. They're fun to grow. Yep.
I know, it's very, when I saw a presentation by the young woman who started a Seed Savers Exchange up in, I can't forget where they're at, and she was talking about literally factual information, how many apple trees, varieties of apple trees, no longer exist. They're extinct.
Exactly.
It's like any, it was very depressing, to say the least.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Apples
and
will never be able
amazing.
To taste again. Great variety, cooking varieties, eating varieties that we'll just never know about because they've just been tossed by the wayside. Just a lot of times, like the ALBC doing the with a lot of poultry that no longer exists. But it's heirloom. It's just something to research, folks, and see if you can implant a lot of that in your garden too.
Exactly, and same with animals. There are very many. There's quite a few heirloom. Farm animals out there that are actually being resurrected, if I should say, and brought back for breeders that are actually just breeding heirloom farm animals, and which is wonderful as well. Yeah, that's cool.
What seed catalogs have you already gotten in the mail?
I do have my Seed Savers. I do have that one. I do have my Johnny Seed. I did get, a Harris seed. I've gone to a lot of digital, but I do still get, like, their flyers and things like that, like Stark Brothers. I just love that catalog when it comes in the mail. I love Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds catalog. When it comes in the mail, it just makes you drool because the photography anymore is just absolutely amazing. And we do have to admit digital age visual is a major part of us. Out here in the of wanting to grow things. So, yes, I have started to receive quite a few, and it's really been kind of fun. I did send a message to Darren Meyer from WEAU TV 13. He's our meteorologist, and ask him about your question. So maybe we'll get a contact back before the end of the show, and maybe we can get him to explain to us what that is about, and it was the Alberta Clipper that we did mess with, and it was terribly, terribly, terribly cold. We had a minus 60 below for like 5 nights in a row, and everybody says, oh, my gosh, but like you say, once you get to minus zero, it's cold. It doesn't matter how many minus and more numbers you put behind that minus. It's just cold. It doesn't matter, you know, other than the fact that most people's
less
cars
heat
don't
than
start.
No heat, but, yeah, I don't get it.
Then most people's cars won't start. You know, you have pipes starting to freeze up, but it hasn't been that cold for, let's see, we've lived here, the first year we moved to Wisconsin, that's when we had kind of the same thing, the Alberta Clipper, and it's been, a good 15 years or more, 17 years now we've lived in Wisconsin. So 15 to 17 years ago is the last time we've had that 60 below Alberta Clipper come down and snag us, and it hit us hard, a lot of the area did. But we banded through it, and, you know, I have a light bulb in my freaking chicken coop, not a heat source, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, won't they freeze up? No, the water has a heater in it. They have straw and bedding and good stuff, and you keep them well fed. And heck, no, they're not bad. They're okay. As long as they stay dry, they're fine. But anyway, yes, it was cold, and it is good. It's still cold. 22 below this morning we had, so I don't know how you can differentiate between. It was freaking below zero, so, you know, we're good. The 22 below comes from the wind, you know, but then I'm not a meteorologist, so I'm not going to be able to even come close to answering your question other than the fact that, yes, it was cold, and it is cold today. We did have, like, 34.
That negative 60 you had was with wind chill?
Wind chill. Wind chill factors, yes.
And
like,
so the actual was probably, what, a negative 18, negative 10, maybe negative 18?
Negative 20 with a wind chill factor of 60 below. And then that was like 4 days. And then, but then we only had, then the rest is usually like negative 30, you know, 30 below with wind chill factor. So this morning it's minus 25, but wind chill factor. So it's actually probably 19 degrees out or something like that, but wind chill. And the other day we had 34, and it was like a heat wave. And my neighbor was out in her bikini, sun, you know, snow bathing, and I was running around with a T-shirt. It's just kind of amazing. When we had San Francisco playing the Packers, let's not talk about it. But anyway, I thought, you know what? Can you imagine these poor guys? They're coming from San Francisco, which had some heat waves going on, and they're coming up here to our minus 60 below Alberta Clipper. Oh, my gosh, because we get used to it. It's kind of like me when I went to Louisiana last winter. It was like they're in their 40s, and I'm sweating my ass off because we're back here in minus 10, but 20 below. So, yeah, it just makes, I guess, your blood gets it. Anyway, let's get back to our wine. Let's just have a sip. We've got to have another sip.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, okay. Yes, it's going to be a wonderful year for everybody involved, I believe. So, we're going to talk, I don't know, what kind of seed catalogs did you get in yet so far?
I've got none yet. Of course, our mail is being forwarded because we're on the road,
sure.
And they only forward first class. They won't forward magazines or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have a mailbox full. Normally, I'll get the Starks, and I'll get the Seed Savers. I'll get, what's the one, Something Brothers? There's Something Brothers. Another
Stark Brothers Nursery?
There's another one, too.
Okay.
There's one that just does tomatoes. I mean, it's a catalog cover to cover, nothing but tomatoes. That's it.
Nice.
And I can't remember which one that is. And it's mostly seeds, not actual plants. So I love to look at the different information in that catalog, but I never do tomatoes from seed. I've been cursed with growing tomato from seed. No matter how much light I add, not enough light in a greenhouse. Without a greenhouse, it doesn't matter. They grow straight up 3 inches, one little sprout, 3 inches. They'll get two leaves at the top and then fall over, and that is it. And I know it has to deal with lighting and heat and things like that. I can grow anything else from seed, it seems like. Rootings, cuttings, all of that stuff, seed, no problem. But tomatoes growing from seed, forget it, not happening with the Chicken Whisperer. I'm telling you, I've tried it I'm 44, I've tried it since I was in college, majoring in horticulture back when, and it literally, they grow up about 2 to 3 inches tall, one little stem, they'd get a sprout, two, and may get four leaves out of the top, and then just fall over. I'm like, forget it. And I've cheated, too, before. Okay, let me tell you what else I've done cheated. I know it costs a little bit more money, and they're like, man, Andy, you can go buy a lot of tomatoes for that amount of money, but I have cheated in the past, too. And I have actually bought 1 gallon, not these little peat pots, not little 6-packs or 4-packs, but 1 gallon tomatoes with little tomatoes already on them about the size of a golf ball or smaller.
No.
and planted them in my garden at that stage. Not because I was really late planting, but I was like, I'm going to have the first tomato in my town. But it was, because even in the South, even in Georgia, especially the Atlanta area, maybe down around Macon a little before, but anywhere really in mid-Georgia, Atlanta area, I don't care how early you plant, you were hard-pressed, really hard-pressed to get a red, ripe, ready-to-eat tomato before the 4th of July. Living in the South, the further South, planting around March 15th, we might can get a late June tomato that's red, early girls or things like that. I think a 55-day to maturity.
Yes,
but,
55.
But, yeah, I'm guilty. I haven't done it a lot, but I have on occasion. If I buy 15 tomato plants, I may buy 2 or 3 gallon ones, but tomatoes already on. And then, and those, of course, aren't the organic. They're the typical what's that company always buy their plants and the Bonnie's. So you got the better boy and the early girl and the bigger boy and that type of thing. And I'll get maybe 3 gallon plants to get started, and then the others maybe the six, you know, the peat pots or the 6-pack or a 4-pack plant, maybe a little
quarter
plant.
I'm not a plant snob as far as any way you want to get your garden in, that's good with me. But then we'll just start. Well, I am the gardening rebel, and I will say, if you like it, do it. I mean, that's what it is, and if you like it, if you really liked it, do it again. Anyway, let's start with just a few tips for seed starting. We'll just start with a real basic 101 seed starting tips, and that would be your container, if you choose your container. Now, that would depend on what kind of seeds you're going to start or what kind of plants. For instance, so your tomato plants have a tendency to have a really long long root. So a taller container would work a little better for those, but it can be fairly small because their root system is fairly small to start with. But when you're going into like pumpkins or summer squash or winter squash, those root systems need to be a little bit more stronger and the plants will get bigger quicker. So use a larger container, not necessarily as deep as maybe you need for a tomato, but they can be a squattier, fatter container. So basically anything goes when it comes to containers. If you choose to buy pea pots or if you choose to use things that you have around the house like milk jugs or things like that, just go for it. Use anything you like. But again, knowing exactly what you're going to start, then you want to make sure that the container will handle those so that you can have proper root growth. Now soil. Soil is a huge thing for starting seeds because you want a seed starting mix that's lightweight, that will not really hold water a long time, has good drainage, but then again won't dry out. So you really need to do some research on that and try. If you have a good planting mix that you like to use, that's what I use. Do not go in the backyard and dig up soil out of the backyard and throw it in a container. That heavy soil will compact and will not work well for starting seeds. It's okay once the plants are started and set in the garden, but it's not really good soil for seed starting, let's say. So that's a good thing. Look at your soil. Now light, most important, right next to the soil, your light source. It can be as simple as maybe three or four grow lights that are hanging just really, really 3 to 4 inches from the seed starting containers. Basically, like four fluorescent bulbs would work. But don't hang them more than 3 to 4 inches from the seedling because, of course, we know that our seeds work from heat, they work from moisture, and then they work from lighting after that point. Temperature, ideal germination temperature needs to be above 70 degrees. So obviously we need a thermostat somewhere in the area so we can maintain our room. If we choose a room to germinate our seeds in, that at least stays a 70 or above. Heat mats are wonderful for those. Those are just simply they look like heat blankets or little heat pads, and they sit underneath your container, not under containers, but underneath the saucer that you have your container sitting in that catch the water. It sits under there and keeps at a constant temperature of 70 degrees. Those work really nice. Now water, this would be our last tip here, other than hardening off, we'll do that too. The soil needs to stay moist, but not soggy, because your seeds could tend to rot. So you want a good, again, it goes right back to soil, where you want a good, you want a soil that's really well draining, you know, it's a light soil, allows those roots to evolve and gather moisture and get in there and really grow nicely. Heavy soils tend to make those roots just really have a tough time, and we don't want that. We don't want it to dry out quick, which means I don't use a lot of peat in my mixes. Everybody can use what they want, but in my opinion, peat dries out quicker than a regular good seed starting mix with less peat. And then make sure you always moisten your soil before you sow your seeds. It's easier to get your soil wet, put it in your containers, then sow your seeds, and then add a little bit of tin, a little dripplings on top, rather than to try to get that soil moist. You know what happens then? All that soil floats to the top, and we don't even know where our seeds went. So those are my tips for you. And then when your seedlings get really hardened off, what are you laughing
at? That's so true. I'm just picturing that, man. You're pouring the water in it. I've seen that so many times. I know exactly what you're talking
about. So many times. Even containers, you know. We're going to get off on our subject. I'm trying to be professional here. You know, I'm really trying to make a professional show in case somebody happens to be listening to it. Then somebody can say, oh, she really does know what she's talking about, instead of us joking all the time. So be quiet. Okay, now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have a sip of wine. Okay, we can be professional. I think we can. Maybe. I don't know. If you've ever seen me talk in person, not. Okay, Now, once our plants are started, they're growing very well, and the outside temperature during the day is above freezing, and we are thinking, oh, our plants are going to start to run here pretty soon if they don't get out, we can start hardening those plants off by setting them out and bringing them back in, setting them out and bringing them back in. And I mean when it's warm out, not light like 30 below. That doesn't work for us. But you know what I mean. When it's early spring and just before we're ready to plant, where it's still freezing at night, but it's warm during the day, we can set them out, bring them back in. Just don't forget them overnight because then they're done. Okay, we're going to start with some few varieties that are brand new for the 2014 gardening season, and I'm so excited. And this is just some few that I plucked out of each and every different catalog that I have seen. So, you know, it's not that it's the end list, please. Believe me, there are hundreds, but we only have so much time, and I know he's going to kick me off of here. So what I thought I'd do is just give you a little rundown of a few different places that you yourself can go look. And each one of these places, if you get a catalog, they always have a listing of the new varieties, or if you go online to their websites or Facebook, they will have a listing of the new varieties as well. So it's wonderful to look through the hundreds of different new varieties that most of these seed producers or sellers do have for you. So don't think that this is just the end of, oh, is that all there is for this year? No, we just don't have time to go through all the wonderful ones. So I grabbed a few. First, I looked at my Botanical Interest Seeds, which I really love this company. It's a wonderful company. But I looked at this wonderful corn. It's called Painted Hill. It's an organic seed corn. It's a 70-day, which is really a short corn, bicolor. It's open-pollinated. But it's a sweet corn, and it is crossed between a Painted Mountain Fleur Indian corn and an heirloom sweet corn. So you can just imagine the colors, and the picture of it is absolutely amazing. It's got yellows, but then it's got pinks and purples and blues, and it's supposed to be not like chewing on an Indian corn. It's supposed to be a cross between the sweet corn and the Indian corn, more of an heirloom variety. And it, yes, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sure that it's a really strong corny flavor. Does that make sense to you? So instead of the soft white sweet flesh. So if it's something that you would like to try something different and just plant a small row, it is, like I say, only 70 days, so it'll be an early corn. And it'll be something different. Again, it's called Painted Hill corn. Painted Hill, and it's from Botanical Interest. Another thing that caught my eye for Botanical Interest seed is the kale. We've heard so much good things about kale and how wonderful it is for you. It's the pick of the year for healthy vegetables to grow. And there are so many ways to prepare it that are delicious there, Mr. Chicken Whisperer. Yeah. Kale, dwarf, blue, curled. It is beautiful. It's a stockier, shorter kale that's really curly, but it's blue, it's green. 55 days, very early variety. It may overwinter in warmer climates. It does say cooler climates, down to like minus zero. But then us people that get the minus, but see, they're looking at places that maybe get minus zero, but don't get snow cover. See, with our snow cover, I'm like a zone 6. I'm really a zone 4, but like I do have like the Hackenokoloas and things like that, plants out there in my garden, which are just these fuzzy yellow grass-looking things to all us regular people that like to use regular names. But it's called All Gold Hackenokoloa, and it's zoned at a 6, but it grows wonderful for me because I get 4 feet of snow on top of her that protects her. So I'm looking at this kale thinking, you know what, that would be so fun to overwinter, try to overwinter her a bit and see. But anyway, the kale is called Dwarf Blue Curl, 55 days. And did you know kale flavor is improved by frost? They wanted to really make sure we all knew that. So after the frost, it's really much better a flavor.
Well, I think a lot of greens are like that, like the turnip greens, collard greens, things like that. They're like, oh, once we get our first frost, then that's when you want to harvest because that's when the flavor really comes out. I've heard that before.
I have too, and I think you're right because they are for winter harvest. Most of your greens are anyway. They like the cooler weather. I had to switch phones. I was beeping. Okay, now Botanical Interest, I have one more from Botanical Interest, and then we'll move on. And I don't know if you all remember talking with me anytime, I love summer squash. And it's just, I love summer squash. Zucchini, yellow crookneck, straight neck, big a patty pan. It doesn't matter. I love it. They have a new summer squash. It's called Cube of Butter. I mean, that's going to have to be good, right? It's a 50-day squash, which is wonderful, right in there with our yellow crooknecks or our zucchini. But it has a better productivity, so it produces lots of small, little round summer squashes. They're little round balls. They're literally like baseballs. So that's really a fun one anyway. So that's it for my botanical interest. So, again, that's the summer squash Cube of Butter. If you like summer squashes like I do, like your zucchini and your butternut or crookneck, you know, your early summer squashes that are soft that we steam and put lots of butter on, or we slice them and throw them on the grill, this is a new one I'm going to try, Cube of Butter. It has to be good. And I'm sure it goes really well with wine. Okay. Now we're going to go to Baker Creek Heirloom Seed. Baker Creek Heirloom Seed. I think there's a... Did somebody answer this gal's message in the chat room? Oh, yes, she did. Fairly new backyard chickens. I have a Welsimer that sits on my eggs, which are not fertile because I have no rooster. But she won't get off the eggs. I have to dig under her to pull them out. Anything I can do? Chicken Whisperer says to stick her bum in cold water. Really? I have not had that break. Christmas Chick says, this is Deb Clark asking about this. Really? And Christmas Chick is telling us what to do. And Christmas Chick says, I have not yet had that broody of a hen. So we're supposed to stick this chicken's bum in cold water if she's brooding? Is that correct? Okay, well, we're going to go with that. But anyway, I dig under and grab the eggs. Sorry, that's what I do. And then what I do is I eventually just say, fine. And I take my side cage and I stick her in there with a bunch of eggs and let her raise some, because otherwise she just broods all the time. But anyway, if the cold water works.
That information came directly from poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McCrae, and that is one
of
her suggestions to get the chickens or the hens to become non-broody is to, we're not talking about ice cold, negative temperature water.
60 below? I can't throw her in my
nice,
over pond.
and just dip her hind quarters and down into the ice water, that can deter them from going ever staying broody. A lot of times people will say put them in an open bottom cage so that area gets cool and it's not warm, and it's, you know, collecting the eggs every day and may help for some. It's never helped with me with broody hens. But yes, you've definitely got a broody hen going on right now. And you can see a lot of people's antidotes for this, and nothing that I've seen is harmful. A lot of times they will not work, or they may work for that person and not work for you. So most of the things I've seen to make your hens non-broody are not detrimental or not harmful whatsoever. So you can try a lot of those things, but that is one thing that is added in our book.
Oh, wonderful! Well, I just thought we better catch this gal in the. She took the time to type in, and thank you, Deb Clark, for joining us today. Anyway, let's go back. Okay, see, I have ADD, so I'll jump over here, but I jump back. But that's okay.
I've got about 3 minutes.
I don't know, Baker Creek. Okay, we're going to do Baker Creek because I love Baker Creek. They have a wonderful story. Yep. Check them out. Basil, one of my absolute favorites. Genovese Red Freddy, deep Roman purple with green edges. I love basil. So try that one out. It's on Baker Creek. It's called Genovese Red Freddy. Try it. Now, this is another one. This is a tomato that I have to talk about. Blue Bernese tomato, 75 days. Blue Bernese, small cherry from Red Gales. It's a very dark, intensely fruity, and Wild Boar Farm sugar sweet tomato. So we're going to try this Blue Bernese. It's very dark. They say blue, but it's really dark purple. I'm going to try it. And then again, chocolate and wine, it goes together as pairing. Chocolate heirloom pear tomato, 70 days, dark brown to black pear-shaped tomatoes, chocolate and wine, my friends. And I will leave you with that. I had whole bunches, but, you know, we get talking, and that's okay, too. Anyway, we did go through a few varieties, and I'm so excited about this season. We've got lots going on here at Garden Wise Living. We're going to start back up an independent garden center. I'm going to do it. Gosh darn it. My daughter and I and our other daughter, CSA, are all going together and putting it back together, and we've done it for 14 years. I can do it again, but with the help of my kids, we just want a small boutique-type little independent garden center with a CSA on the side and a farm stand on the side and a petting farm on the side and come fishing in the pond if you'd like. Bring your poles and sit by the side and eat some Firestone pizza. That kind of a place, more of a bring the kids from the cities and out to the farm type place. So that's exciting for us, and I know you've got some exciting things going on too. And it's going to be a great year. I hope everybody else has a blessed year as well.
That sounds terrific. That sounds like a wonderful place. I hope y'all can pull that off and put lots of heart into that, because that sounds really, really like a wonderful goal to set for 2014. And again, I do wish you all the best for that, because I know how important something like that is for the community. In general, I think that's a very, very, very great goal that y'all have, and I wish you all the best of luck with accomplishing that.
Thank you.
And I apologize, it's my fault. It's a shorter show. I do have an appointment to get to, but it is a worthwhile appointment. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't worthwhile for the betterment of all chickens and
Yay!
Chicken keepers. But yeah, so thank you so much. The first and third Wednesday of every single month, you can hear Garden Wise Living right here with Arlena. Arlena, thank you very much for joining us today. Thanks for bringing your seed catalogs, telling us what wine you are partaking in, and just your wonderful bubbly presence is always awesome here. And we thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Wonderful. Sounds good. You guys have a blessed day. Thank you. And good luck, Andy. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to garden wise, everybody.
That's
that was
right.
Arlena Schott, Garden Wise Living. And again, we thank you very much for tuning in today. And we'll be here tomorrow with poultry scientist and professor, Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD. So we'll see you on Facebook. We'll see you on Twitter. God bless, everybody.
Bye.